0 auf 100. Aral feiert 100 Jahre mit über 100.000 Gewinnen. Zum Beispiel ein Jahr frei tanken. Jetzt ein Dankeschön, Rubbellos zu jedem Einkauf. Alle Infos auf aral.de. Aral, alles super.
Eiszeit FM, der Eishockey-Podcast.
Schönen guten Tag, Eiszeit FM hier, euer Podcast zu den Adler Mannheim and all things Hockey. Ich bin Sven, Flo und Phil sind heute nicht dabei. Das ist nicht die einzige Besonderheit, sondern die zweite Besonderheit ist, wir machen die Sendung komplett auf Englisch. Ihr habt es vielleicht mitbekommen auf unseren Social-Media-Kanälen. Wir hatten Kontakt mit jemandem, der beim Draft war in Vancouver vor Ort, ein Red Wings-Fan. Und mit dem werden wir jetzt reden über Moritz Seider, über den Draft, über seine Reaktion. Wer es noch nicht gesehen hat, kann es verfolgen. Twitter @eiszeit_fm und bei facebook.com/eiszeitfm. Muss mich natürlich für zwei Sachen gleich entschuldigen. Also als erstes für die, die die Sendung nicht verfolgen können aufgrund der englischen Sprache. Sorry, es ist leider nicht möglich, das mit Overvoice zu machen, für uns technisch zeitlich nicht zu leisten. Und der zweite Grund ist natürlich für die, die es hören, dass sie mein Englisch ertragen müssen. Dafür müssen wir uns auch gleich entschuldigen. Aber wir gehen jetzt rüber. Der Mann ist da, der eigentliche Star des Picks, Moritz Seider, Jake Nagy. Hi Jake, great to have you on the show.
Hi Sven, danke.
Oh, your German words.
I tried to study some German, Sven. I am now the biggest Red Wings fan of Moritz Seider that is out there, I think. So I gotta start learning my German, Sven.
Yeah, well, you have to. Have you already a jersey with the number 53? Or
I'm ordering it. Sven, on the drive, to Vancouver for the draft, I was driving in the car with my father and my friend, and we were having a conversation about the draft and who we thought the Red Wings might select. And I read a tweet to my dad saying that the Red Wings were maybe interested in picking Moritz Seider. And we laughed. We said, oh, I don't think there's any way in the whole world that we would pick him at number 6. And I joked. I said, well, if Steve Yzerman picks Moritz Seider number 6, I'll buy his jersey the next day. So, Sven, it looks like I'm buying a number 53 jersey.
So you have to, I think, for the next years. And you will. We are sure here in Germany that you're becoming a big, big fan of Moritz in the next years. The first thing is, I already hear you say Seider in some videos with Steve Dangle and with some videos on the, you said Seider. So there's already a progress.
Yes. I wasn't sure which way was the proper pronunciation. And so, when Steve Yzerman called his name, he said Seider. And, I've already seen some jokes on Twitter. In the U.S., one of the popular drinks we call apple cider. And so whenever cider will get an assist, I know there will be many people cheering for the apple cider.
So Moritz apple cider.
Exactly.
Coming big contracts for him, I think, in the next year. So
yes,
it's looking quite good. Would you like to introduce yourself in a few words?
Yes.
Yeah. Hockey related. What are you doing? So.
Yeah. So my family is originally from Detroit, Michigan. So that's where my love of the Red Wings began. When I was 3 years old, the Red Wings won their first Stanley Cup in 42 years. That was in 1997. So I was 3 and my father was 33, and we got to see the Red Wings win the Stanley Cup for the first time in each of our lives. So I grew up, watching the Red Wings, and Steve Yzerman was my hero. He was my favorite player, and I wore the number 19 my whole childhood, playing hockey, growing up as a kid. And then I moved to California for university. I went to school out in California for 4 years, And then I graduated from school and I moved up to Portland, Oregon. So I've been there for almost a year now. And so that's about 6 hours from Vancouver. So when we found out that the draft was happening in Vancouver, we got some tickets and my dad flew out and we made the trip. So I'm in Portland, Oregon now, where there's actually a junior hockey team in the WHL, the Portland Winterhawks. Yep. And I believe just a few days ago in the draft, the Seattle franchise drafted another young German player in the import draft. So Tim Stutzel, I don't know if I'm saying the name correctly.
He's also playing for Mannheim next year.
Yes, and playing for Mannheim, yeah.
He's also from the so-called Jungadler Mannheim, the youth organized, the youth program of the Adler Mannheim.
Wow. So
Moritz Seider played the year before. So
yes, I'm hoping maybe if Seider plays another year in Mannheim, they'll be teammates. Maybe the Red Wings can draft him in 2020, and then they'll be teammates for Detroit for many years to come.
Elite Prospect has a draft list for 2020. There was Tim Stützle at number 7, I think. So
yes. So he's going to be a top prospect. I would love to see the Red Wings draft him. We'll probably not be very good again next year. So there's a good chance we can draft him.
So let's talk about Detroit, the Red Wings. It's called Hockey Town. In Mannheim, we have to say Hockey Stadt Mannheim. The Eishockey Stadt Mannheim. It's the word in Mannheim. So Seider is coming from Eishockey Stadt and coming to Hockey Town. What does it mean, Hockey Town, Detroit? I mean, you have the Lions, you have the Detroit Pistons. Right. You have all the other franchises and big, big teams there. Yes. Is hockey number one in Detroit?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the Red Wings, when my dad was growing up, and you probably saw my dad in the video as well. He didn't get turned into a meme.
This was the desperate guy close to next to you.
The desperate guy, yes. And it's probably good he did not get turned into a meme, because my father did not understand what a meme was. I had to explain to him about the internet, what a meme is. When my dad was growing up, the Wings were a really pitiful team. They even jokingly called them the Dead Wings, the Detroit Dead Wings. And then when Steve Yzerman was drafted, 1983, I believe, the Red Wings really kind of started to come alive again. And, you know, Sven, there's a great film out right now called The Russian Five. It's about Sergei Fedorov, Vladimir Konstantinov, Slava Kozlov, Slava Fetisov, Igor Larionov, the five Russians who played together and won the Cup in 1997. Yep. And that was really, you know, I think the birth of the name Hockey Town. And, you know, like you said, there's the Lions, the Pistons, the Tigers, but the way people love the Red Wings is it's unlike anything else. And Detroit has been through some hard times, you know. In 2008, when the economy in America really struggled, Detroit was probably hit harder than any other city in the U.S. And yet, I think what people really held on to was the Red Wings, and the Wings won the Cup that year in 2008. So Moritz is going from one great hockey city to another. And from what I heard in his interview right after the draft, it sounds like Mannheim is also a working class city, a lot like Detroit. So hopefully he will feel very much at home when he moves to Detroit to play for the Red Wings.
Yeah, the soccer team established the claim a working class football since 1907. Mm. So Mannheim is definitely a working class town. So this is what you see there. And Seider is also smart enough to combine these two cities and to combine these claim. And yeah, it works fine. Yes. So the Red Wings had a playoff run for 25 seasons, which is unbelievable in a cap space era. It is. We'll never see again, I think, in the NHL.
I agree. I don't think we'll ever see it. And truly, you know, The playoff streak was about the same age as I was, Finn. So yeah. I was 21. I was 21 years old the first time the Red Wings missed the playoffs. I didn't know what to do with myself. I knew no world in which the Red Wings were not playing playoff hockey. So it really is remarkable. And I think that most of that comes from how well we drafted players in Europe. I mean, you know, drafting those Russian players, Nicholas Lidstrom, you know, even into the early 2000s, picking up Henrik Zetterberg and Pavel Datsyuk in the sixth and seventh rounds of the draft. I mean, it's just, it's remarkable. And I believe that's why Detroit was so good for so long, was because of the European talent that we brought over. And so now I'm hoping and praying that Filip Zadina from the 2018 draft, and of course, yep, Sider this year are going to be the next wave of European superstars for the Red Wings.
Also, the names you have told us were all staying quite long.
Yes.
At Detroit, Zetterberg, Lindstrom, Chelios. Yes. You can name them all. Eisenman, Shanahan. They were all for a very long time in Detroit. Is that something like philosophy in Detroit, building a core for a long time?
Exactly. You know, and actually, I think that really what the beautiful thing about Detroit was building a core of players who would play most of or their entire career for the Red Wings. Eiserman, Lidstrom, Zetterberg, and Datsyuk, they played every game for their entire career for Detroit. I mean, Datsyuk, his contract was traded to the Coyotes. He never played a game for the Coyotes, but most of these guys, they played their entire career for Detroit, and I think that they're a very loyal club. They show a lot of loyalty to their players, but I think that that's in some ways what led to the struggle that the Red Wings have seen over the last 3 years. Is they gave a lot of contracts, a lot of money, a lot of term to players like Justin Abdelkader and Darren Helm, and a lot of these guys, we joke it's called the Michigan discount. If they were born in Michigan, they get a longer contract. And so I think that that's been part of the struggle. And one of the tweets that someone sent in when you tweeted about this episode of the podcast, someone asked about the difference between Ken Holland and Steve Yzerman being general manager. And I think that
greetings to Le Enfant. At this
yes.
point.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the one who tweeted it in. And, you know, I think that that'll be one thing you will see is a bit different. Ken Holland always rewarded the players who were drafted, born and bred, and really raised in Detroit. But Steve Yzerman, you know, when he was in Tampa Bay, he traded away Martin St. Louis. He got rid of Vincent LeCavalier's contract. So I think that you might see Yzerman move some of those contracts like Abdelkader and maybe Darren Helm so that we can make room for Moritz Seider, Zadina, Joe Valeno, some of those young guys to come up and start playing for Detroit sooner rather than later.
Have you known before the draft that Yzerman was in Mannheim in person to see Seider?
I did not know. If I did, maybe I wouldn't have been so surprised, Finn.
We have known this. I wasn't there at that day, but in the press box, there was a rumor, and then it was official signed that Yzerman was there.
Wow. I should have been following you on Twitter earlier, and I wouldn't have been so surprised.
So, what can we talk about the change in the organization with Yzerman coming back to his home franchise, to his home club, and Jeff Blasio as a coach? What can we expect from these both guys the next years?
You know, so I live on the west coast of the U.S. in Portland, Oregon, and I woke up at about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'd seen a text from my dad and some of my friends from the East Coast who they had woken up earlier and they'd seen the announcement about that they were going to have a press conference with Steve Yzerman and the Ilitch family. And I woke up and I saw this, that Steve Yzerman was going to be coming home. And I'm not ashamed to admit, Sven, I started crying. Yeah. And I woke up my wife, and she's asleep. I said to her, hey, Steve Yzerman is coming back to Detroit. I was crying. And she just looked at me, and she's like, why did you wake me up? She did not grow up watching hockey, so I had to let her go back to sleep. And when she woke up later that morning, explained to her that it was one of the best days of my life, that Steve Yzerman was coming home. And she still didn't really quite understand, but she knows that this guy is my hero. And so Hockey Town is very happy to have Steve Yzerman back. And, you know, as far as Jeff Blashill goes, you know, I've read that he when he was watching Seider and saw some of the moves he was making, his lateral skating, his puck work, that he had a big smile on his face watching Seider. So, you know, I'm hoping he's a fan of him. I don't know how long Blashill will last in Detroit.
Okay.
He hasn't won a playoff series yet, and the fans, like I said, they're not used to missing the playoffs one time, much less three times. So yeah, we'll have to see how he performs, and I'm not sure how long he'll last in Hockey Town. But truly, Sven, the guy I would really like to see come in and coach the Red Wings, if Blashill leaves, is the current head coach of the Swedish. He coached the Swedish national team for some time, and I had gotten some interest from other NHL clubs, but I don't
know his name, but he's there are many clubs interested in him at the moment. I know, yeah.
Yes, and I think he took like a 2-year deal to coach. So maybe when that contract comes up, Rickard Granberg is his name.
Yeah.
Maybe when his next contract comes up, maybe Blashill, his time will be done, and we'll bring in Granberg. I'd love to see him. You know, his experience in Europe with a lot of these European players we've drafted, I think he could be a great fit as well.
There's an awesome episode with him on the Full 60.
Yes. Podcast. Yes. Yeah. He was on the Full 60, and he also did an interview with the Winged Wheel podcast, which I saw you tweeted out. You were listening to the Winged Wheel podcast.
To be honest, I heard the guys for the first time yesterday, but I had to prepare for the show. So
yes, I'll have to introduce you to each other. I've never met those guys, but I've been listening to their show for almost 2 years now, and you definitely will have to be a guest on their show and have them be a guest on your show. Create a little cross-country friendship cross-podcast.
So we do this. So what can we say about the Red Wings at the moment? Are they still in rebuild mode, or are they just trying to progress with what they have, or are they still in tank mode a little bit? What can we say about them? You look at the roster, it's not that impressing, to be honest.
It is not. It is quite the opposite of impressing. You know, I think that we're caught somewhere in between, Sven. We have a lot of aging players, you know, Jonathan Erickson, Trevor Daley, Mike Green, maybe Nicholas Cronwall comes back for another year. You know, these guys are probably closer to a retirement home than they are to playing in another Stanley Cup finals. they, especially our defensive core, I think is really been struggling for some time. And, you know, most all of the American fan base here for the Red Wings, we really expected Detroit to take a center. You know, there's Kirby Dach, there's Alex Turcotte, Trevor Zegras. You've got a number of really strong centers, Dylan Cousins, even, you know, Alex Turcotte and Alex Newhook. And so as the draft is going by, Sven, you know, number one and number two, I think everyone knew would be Hughes and Kako. Yeah. And then, you know, number three is Kirby Dach. And that really surprised me. I thought it would probably be Turcotte. And so I started getting really excited because there were the three guys I really was hoping the Red Wings would take. I know there were a couple of tweets asking about who did I expect or who did I want?
Let us come to that a little bit later.
Yes. We'll come to that in a bit. But yeah. You know, it's Doc.
You're too far at the moment. You're going too far at the moment.
Getting ahead of myself.
Because the first question is the draft, going there, the decision to go there.
Yeah.
On TV, it always looks like a very boring show, especially the second day. It's far too long. And for Europeans, it's quite good because you see it in prime time here, at 7 p.m. or so. But it's far too long. And how was the atmosphere in Vancouver? How was the atmosphere in the arena? What can you tell us about
this? Yeah, you know, it was my first draft. First time in, you know, I watch the draft every year, but it was my first time in person. And, you know, to combine your two questions, you know, the Red Wings, I think especially their defensive core has really, it's not been good. And watching the draft in person, both the first and second day, I think the biggest thing I noticed was the Red Wings drafted a lot of defensemen in the early picks. So that's clearly, I think Yzerman is saying that he does not think very highly of our defense.
Yeah.
You know, taking Seider, we took another big Finnish defenseman with the 35th pick, took Johansson later on. And so, you know, I think that Yzerman is not happy with our defensive core. And, you know, watching the draft in person, Sven, I think is truly an amazing experience. If you ever have a chance to go, I would highly recommend flying over and getting to do it. Because when you go to a game, you know, I've seen the Red Wings play in almost 10, 11 different cities around the U.S., you know, it's always great, but it's Detroit versus Chicago, Detroit versus Colorado, Detroit versus Anaheim.
Yeah.
And so you only get to see two groups of fans. But when you go to the draft, there's fans of literally every single club in all of the NHL in one building. And, you know, it's an amazing atmosphere to get to be around all these hockey fans. Everyone gets to boo the Boston Bruins together. That was
yeah.
Parts.
For me, I have to admit I'm a Maple Leafs fan, so
I would
the Bruins too.
I might have to hang up and end this call right
yeah.
now.
I'm sorry. Can
be sorry. Friends. I went to the Winter Classic between the Red Wings and the Maple Leafs in 2014 out in it was snowing, you know, 100,000 people packed into the stadium, and the Maple Leafs beat the Red Wings. And so it has been a wound, some anger towards the Maple Leafs. But hopefully 5 years later, I've found forgiveness in my heart for those Maple Leafs fans. So I forgive you, Sven.
But you had the cup in your life, so
that is true.
That's the biggest difference to a Leafs fan.
That is very true. I've had four cups in my life, but that is
oh
very
man,
true.
Never ever that gonna happen to me. So
that's right.
So what were your expectations before the draft for the Red Wings? Something like a immediate help for the team, something that makes the team immediately better, or just something that helps the team progressing over the years?
Yeah, you know, the thing that I was expecting going in was, you know, we drafted Zadina, sixth overall last year. We drafted Joe Valeno. And we really kind of looking at it, I felt like, you know, Dylan Larkin is probably going to be our first line center. Valeno looks like he might be a third line center. And I was really thinking every, you know, Detroit writer for the Detroit newspapers, for The Athletic, for most of the big media coverage in Detroit, they were all guessing that the Red Wings would probably try to draft a center, someone who will be ready in maybe 2 years from now. I don't think we were trying to pick someone who helps us immediately because we are not good. So we don't need help tomorrow. We need help in 2 to 3 years when Larkin and Mansa and Athanasiou are really entering their prime. And so I was expecting the guy I really kind of was thinking was probably Trevor Zegras. That was the guy I was really pulling for. You know, he played a lot of his hockey in Michigan for the U.S. development team. But I also, you know, I thought maybe we would take Podkolzin, you know, the Russian winger. Yeah. I had a long list of players. And, you know, Sven, I'd read a couple of different things saying that the Red Wings might try to pick someone like Seider in the second round, which obviously now I know would have never happened. But,
definitely. On Friday, there were a lot, or the day before the draft, it was Thursday, sorry, not Friday.
Right.
But the day before the draft, I saw on Twitter a lot of rumors about Detroit trading down for Seider from 6 to 10 or to 12.
Exactly.
Have you seen them too? Have you heard about this too?
So I literally saw them for the first time while I was driving to the draft, and we stopped to fill our tank up, and I pulled out my phone. I was looking through Twitter, and I saw these rumors that we might try to trade to 10 or 12. And, you know, I thought, wow, I just didn't think there was any way that we would draft a defenseman. I wasn't expecting that at all. I figured we'd try to draft a defenseman later. And, you know, when I saw the rumors, I thought, well, maybe they'll try to trade back. But then I thought to myself, you know, I had read some rumors also that Ken Holland, who's now, you know, the general manager for Edmonton, they were picking number 8, and they picked Philip Broberg. But I think what I'm thinking now is that Yzerman knew that Seider might not make it past pick number 8. And he obviously loved what he saw in Seider and did not want to risk his chances of trading back to 10 and then missing on him altogether. So, when I saw the rumors, I didn't believe it. I didn't think there was any chance it was true that it would happen, but I think they were correct.
I thought, too, this is totally crazy. They will never pick Seider on 6. I saw a list where he was on 10. This was the best place for him, what I saw. This was from Elite Prospect.
Yes.
But the other lists all about place 15 or so, around 12 to 18, most of them.
Yes.
But never behind 20. But so let's go to the draft. the first 5 picks were done. And Steve Yzerman, I have to add, he was not in charge at Detroit when he was in Mannheim and saw Seider. He was not officially nominated at this time, but it was clear that he's coming back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was, I think, undercover spy. He was...
but he was not so much undercover.
Yeah, but to the Germans, he was maybe quite overt. He was not hiding.
No, he was... Yzerman is in the house. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't think he was scouting for Tampa Bay at that point.
That's definitely not the case. I don't think he's scouting for number 31 at this point. So,
Certainly not.
It was clear that Seider wasn't in there at this point of the draft. So, then Yzerman on the stage. The Detroit Red Wings are picking from Mannheim from the DEL. What were your thoughts at this moment? Just take us in there.
Oh, Sven. So he came up on stage, and like you said, I was expecting him, you know, sometimes at the draft, they will say something like, you know, congratulations to the St. Louis Blues on winning the Stanley Cup. Thank you to the city of Vancouver for hosting us. I was expecting Stevie to say something like that. And, you know, he has roots. He spent a lot of time growing up near British Columbia in Vancouver. So I expected him to say you know, a little speech like that. And he immediately leans into the microphone, says the Red Wings are proud to select from Mannheim. And it was at that moment, Sven, that my brain just like, it paused. it was like, you know, your computer when it freezes up and it just says like processing. Yeah. That is what was going through my brain, Mannheim. And then he says, Moritz Seider. And my jaw was just hanging open. And I just sat there thinking to myself, oh my gosh, Moritz Seider is a Red Wing. And I look over at my dad. I just felt his hand on my back. And he just turned and he covered his face up because I think he was saying some things under his breath that maybe he didn't want to be on television.
It doesn't work, though.
Yeah, I was not expecting to be on TV either, Sven. The tickets that we had were for the highest row in the entire arena. And just about 2 or 3 hours before the draft, we were walking around outside the arena. And we bumped into a group called Rocket Sports Media. They are a media company. They cover the Montreal Canadiens and some of the AHL teams and the minor league. And we started talking with them, and they actually gave us 3 tickets for the lower bowl. So we were sitting not too far from some of the players. I mean, we were just maybe a couple rows away from Seider himself. And so when they called his name, Sven, the only question I still have is, I don't know who was more surprised, me and my dad and my friend, or Seider and his mother.
I think all of you were shocked.
Equally shocked.
But you were horrified, Seider not. Seider was just pumped and excited and couldn't believe it. But you seem a little bit horrified at the moment, and your dad seems so desperate.
Yes. You know, at first, I will admit, I was a little bit angry. I was more shocked than I was angry. You know, I had a list of 15 different guys I thought we might take at that point. And they were mostly all on offense, you know. Zegras was at the top of my list. He's a playmaker. I thought he would fit really well with Zadina. Cole Caulfield is a goal-scoring winger. Pod Colson, Dylan Cousins. You know, even going down the list, you know, maybe they would reach for Newhook or for one of these guys. I never imagined. And you know, Steve Yzerman, typically he keeps he keeps his secrets pretty well to himself. Obviously not when he was scouting in Germany, but that hadn't made it to American Twitter yet. And so we had heard some rumors maybe that they would take Cousins or Zegras or Caulfield. And so when he said Seider, I was stunned. I was a little bit horrified. And Sven, the thing, my mother told me that she's glad I did not say anything bad on TV that the camera would catch. No. Exactly. She told me, I know you're a grown man, but I might have to wash your mouth out with soap if I caught you on TV saying anything inappropriate. So, yeah. But, you never know when someone will catch you on TV, I guess, turn you into
tell a... You, for me, the reaction of your dad and you, it was the best moment of the whole draft. For sure, the pick of Moritz Seider, but it was the best moment of the draft. And this picture with the both of you, it was perfect.
Yeah.
So it was.
Do you think people were they angry? Were your friends and your fellow fans of Mannheim, were they angry that my dad and I looked upset? Like, were they mad that we were not more grateful? Because you know how brilliant Seider is and what a great hockey player he is.
Oh, no, there were some reactions, but I think they are not okay. Just, they no. It's I don't think, have you ever heard of Seider before the draft? Have you seen him in one game or something at the World Championship perhaps or so?
Yeah.
Or?
I had watched him at the World Championships playing against the U.S. and mostly I watched like some highlights of the game before the draft, and you're not usually as much, defensemen don't always catch your eye as much as forwards do when you're watching highlights from a game. But I had listened to, the Winged Wheel podcast, and they had gone in depth about almost any player that could possibly be taken in the first round. And they had talked about Seider, and, I watched highlights for most of these guys. So I'd watched some of his highlight videos, but, I've never seen a full game of Mannheim. I don't get to see really any of the DEL games because, the time zone difference and everything. And so,
no apologies needed on that point. And I don't think there are any bad feelings or something about the reaction, but it was just pure emotions. That
yes.
was so fun from our side. But
yeah, I have some friends that live in Germany, Sven. I actually visited last summer, during the World Cup.
Okay.
I spent a day in Berlin, and then I spent a week just outside of Hanover with some of my friends who live there. And so I was afraid if the fans were angry that I wasn't grateful for picking Seider, I would not be able to come back and visit because they would recognize the meme and they would not want to see me back in their country. So I'm glad that we will not be enemies of the Mannheim fans.
No, definitely not. But it was such a great moment, your emotions and your dad with the paper over his head. So it was just perfect with
yes.
this picture. How did you, when did you get it that you were on TV, that you became a meme, that you're all over social media?
You know, I most of my friends back in the U.S., they were watching on a channel called NBC, the American broadcast. And so someone had texted me and said that I was on TV, but it was a totally different clip. When Gary Bettman, the commissioner, came out to start the draft, all of the fans, they started booing him and jeering at him. And they showed my dad and my friend Tyler and I laughing at everyone booing Gary Bettman. They were booing so loud inside the arena that you could not even hear what Gary Bettman was saying. I have no idea to even now what he was saying because the fans were shouting so loudly. And so someone sent me a picture of that saying, "Hey, I just saw you on TV." So I was like, "Oh, wow, I was on TV." But I did not see the clip that was shown by Sportsnet in Canada and in Germany. I didn't see any of that. No one told me the whole first night. And so I showed up for day two of the draft, and it's in the morning, in Vancouver. And so a woman named Amy, she was with the Rocket Media Group. She came up to me and she said, "Well, how does it feel to be famous on social media?" And I kind of laughed. I was like, "Oh, what do you mean?" And she shows me her phone on Twitter, the picture of us. And I was maybe even more shocked and horrified than I was when they said Seider's name, because I had no idea that I had turned into a meme.
And for me, this is one of the craziest moments we talked about before the show already. Yeah. In my 9 years on Twitter now, I mean, your answer, I thought, how did this guy found or get our Twitter post with the picture? It was awesome. It was really one of the craziest moments ever on social media for me.
Connecting the world is so small these days. And when my friend had told me about the meme, I was like, "Oh my gosh, how far has this spread?" My friend who lives in Sweden was telling me that some of the kids at his church were sending him pictures of the meme. I don't even know if they knew that him and I were friends, but he was telling them, "That's my buddy."
That's my friend, Dave.
Yes. Yes. And so I looked into Twitter, you know, Red Wings fan, just to see, like, has the meme spread across Twitter? And I saw your tweet, and I showed my dad, and my dad just started laughing out loud because it was so funny, Sven. And so I showed him that, and we were cracking up. And so, you know, I wrote to you, and it's just crazy now that getting to be on the show with you. I've been a hockey fan for my entire life, but this is definitely one of the greatest moments being a fan than that I've ever experienced.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. No doubt about that. That's awesome. So after that, you were on media all over the place in Vancouver. Steve Dangle interviewed you, made a video with you. What can you tell us about him?
Yeah, Steve is a great guy. You know, it's my first time meeting him. My buddy Tyler, that he was the guy in the white Red Wings jersey who was sitting next to me.
Okay.
You know, and he's really been becoming a bigger Red Wings fan over the last couple months. And he is a huge fan of Steve Dangle. He's been watching. He told me he just watched a couple of hours of Steve Dangle while he was at work. Hopefully his boss is not listening to this podcast, but he started watching Steve Dangle's videos at work, and both of us were a really big fan. And on the drive up, we were telling my dad about, you know, how much we enjoyed Dangle, and my dad has never been on YouTube at one day in his whole life, so he didn't understand. So we had to explain to him about all that. And so then after the Red Wings pick, he had tweeted and said that he was meeting. He was doing a little meetup at a certain section of the arena. So we went out and got to meet him. And I recorded a video with him giving his reaction to cider. You know, he was making the joke about apple cider. And then actually later that night in Vancouver, we went out to get dinner, and we were eating at a restaurant. We actually saw a couple of the players who were drafted on day two. Just eating dinner with their families, and we were walking back down the street. We saw Dangle again, and so chatted with him once more. And then the next morning, day two of the draft, I was just walking to get some poutine. It's a signature Canadian food. I was hungry. Yeah, I saw Dangle, and he said, hey, can you come over here and record a video with me? I said, sure, you know, and so he asked me about my reaction to the pick. And what's really funny, Sven, is I still had not seen that clip that he posted on the Sportsnet video. I still hadn't seen that clip until it was posted onto Sportsnet. So every time I saw it, it just kept getting more and more embarrassing. So, it's pretty funny. The hockey world, it spans across, you know, from continents, but it really is a small world to get to meet him, and now to get to meet you, Sven. It's really fun.
It's awesome, Jake. It's really one of the best stories ever. Let's talk about Moritz Seider a little bit. What have you known about him already in the last week?
Yeah, well, you know, I've run out of data on my cell phone because all I've been doing for the last week is watching YouTube videos of Moritz. Every clip I can possibly watch of him in the DEL, his highlight videos. You know, he was just at Red Wings development camp, and the first video that they posted of him, he was doing some skating drills. And
I saw this too.
Yes, I think you could probably have gotten another meme out of my reaction to watching that video, because, wow, the kid can skate. I mean, I'm not as good with the metric system. I know he's 6 foot three.
Four, I think. He was the biggest one. He was the tallest one in the whole draft class.
Exactly. So for a guy of his size to skate that well. I have just been blown away watching him. They did the 3-on-3 tournament yesterday in Detroit, and he scored a goal, a real nice play. And then I watched today, just before we were chatting, the 5-on-5, and there was a shift he had where, you know, he had the puck in a defensive zone. He weaved in through neutral ice and brought the puck in, brought it behind the net, set up a perfect pass. And, man, any Red Wings fan who was not happy with picking Sider at 6, we should all keep our mouth quiet and be thanking Steve Yzerman. We should be thanking Mannheim for developing this young guy's skill, because he is a fantastic skater. I think the best thing was that it appears that he has a lot more offensive upside than I think most of us had read about before the draft. So I wanted to ask you, you know, most of what I'd read, most of what I'd seen on video talked about what a great defensive defenseman he is, but there were some questions about his offensive upside, you know, how much, what is his ceiling? How good can he get offensively? So I wanted to ask you a bit about that. You've obviously seen a lot more of him than probably any Red Wings fan in the U.S. So what can you tell me about his offensive upside, Sven?
First of all, we have to say this was his first season in the DEL. So right. He's coming as a new guy to the league, had to adapt to the play there. And Mannheim had by far the best power play units on the ice in the whole DEL.
Yeah.
So he doesn't play a lot of power plays. Mm-hmm. The classical blue liner were set with one of the two best defenders in the whole German league.
Wow.
So that's nothing about his lack of offensive skills at this point. He played already for the German national team in the playoff, in the power play units at the World Championship. So he's becoming more and more of an offensive guy over the years. So there's nothing to worry about from my side. It's all about development. It's all about giving him the ice time and giving him the chance to show what he can do there. I don't think he's a power play guy in his first 2 or 3 years. But when we talk 5 years from now, I have no doubt that he will be an offensive player too for the team.
Yeah.
With a lot of impact.
That's great to hear. I've been wondering, Sven, do you think that if he plays in Mannheim next season, will they give him any power play time? I mean, do you think that he would be able to get power play time if he plays for Mannheim? Or do you think that their power play units are already set for next year?
I think he's getting some time, but I'm not sure about it, because the power play units were that good. Mannheim was by far the best team. I think they had a power play ratio of about 25-28%. It was crazy. It was just crazy stuff. And they have also two of the best defenders on the blue line. I don't think that he's playing that much there.
Gotcha.
But do you think he's playing in Mannheim next year?
You know, there's been a lot of talk about that on Red Wings Twitter. I'd say, you know, he's got 4 options. He could play for Mannheim. I believe the Owen Sound Attack own his rights in the Canadian Hockey League and the OHL. He could play for Grand Rapids, the AHL affiliate for Detroit, or he could make the Red Wings right out of camp. So I am not sure where he is going to end up. I think it'll be important for his development that he gets some more of that offensive production. I think if he plays in the OHL, he would have the most amount of time on the power play, but I think that's probably the weakest competition. You know, he's been playing against grown men. I don't know if it would be best for him to go back and play against teenagers again.
Definitely not.
There's different options. I would probably say it's most likely he'll either play in Mannheim or for Grand Rapids, but After watching him yesterday, Sven, I don't know. He's probably better than almost any Red Wings defensive player that we have already.
To tell you one thing about Seider, the bigger the stage is, the more he's bringing the best out of it.
Wow.
On of his play. He was, for me, he was the best defender in the final, in the DEL final series. And for me, he was the best German defender at the World Championship.
Wow.
That was nothing you can expect from the start of the season from a young guy, only 70 years old at that time. And he's that good. I asked him after game 4 of the final series, is there anything, Moritz, you're 18 years old and you're playing so cool, so smart, so intelligent on the ice. Is there anything that still upsets you out there? And one member of the organization of the Adler Mannheim said from behind, math exams. And that's all. On the ice, he's so cool. He's a big personality. That's what you hear at the scouting combine also.
Yes.
I think that's some perhaps the biggest point that Eisenman sees in him, that he's becoming a leader in the locker room over the years, that he's becoming a leader for the franchise. So I don't think you pick a player at 6 and send him back to Germany. That's my opinion, but I'm not sure about this. So
yeah, I think you are right on, Sven. Stevie, you know, he was the captain. Literally, that's what we call him. We call him the captain. I mean, he exemplified leadership for the Red Wings for so long. And I think that leadership capability is very important to him. And from what I read, you know, Seider himself said that his longest interview at the combine was with Eiserman. They talked for, you know, almost 40 minutes. It was one of the last interviews, and that Eiserman asked him about his family, about everything about him as a person. And I think what's important for Eiserman, not only is his production on the ice, but his leadership capabilities. And it certainly sounds like he has all that and even more. So that is great news to me for sure.
But to give you another example, there was an exhibition game before the World Championships between Team USA and Team Germany in Mannheim. Mm. And afterwards, the youngest player from Team Germany, Seider, gave the best interviews to the press, the smartest interviews, the one you can work with as a pressman. So he's just that clever and smart, and he's himself at this moment. He's no one playing a role or something. So, but he's just himself, and I think you see this on the ice too in his play. This intelligence, and how he can read the game and what he's doing on the game.
I love that.
And in the German hockey bubble, there's something like a Seider mania over the last 1 or 2 years. For us, it was just we're going crazy. Yeah, Seider at 6. Oh, this is awesome. Someone tweeted, Seider picked at 6. Bring me alcohol.
I can imagine there was some celebrating and some partying going on.
No, yeah, perhaps on some, yeah.
Yes, before. I know, you know, Dreisaitl, has been fantastic. You know, I mean, he's one of the best players in all of the NHL right now, and I'm sure he's very loved in Germany. Do you think Seider, is he the second best player to come out of Germany in the last 10, 15 years behind Dreisaitl, do you think?
From a perspective, I would say yeah, but you have also Cahoon, who was traded to the Pittsburgh Penguins
right.
A few weeks ago.
Tobias Kreider.
You have two goalies with Grubauer and Kreis.
Right.
You have Kühnhackl, who won the Cup 2 times with the Penguins, who signed now a 1-year deal at the Islanders. But Seider is by far the biggest talent Germany ever had on defense, I think.
Wow.
I think there's no doubt about that. That was the biggest talent I saw at the DEL for the last, I don't know, 20 years or so.
Wow. You know, Juve Krupp, the old defender, yeah. If Seider can be as good as him or exceed those expectations, I know there'll be a lot of happy Red Wings fans.
But we still have to wait. He's 18 years old.
Exactly.
Don't give him that back on his shoulder.
Don't want to put too much pressure on him.
But this guy is developing so fast. It's crazy. I said on December, you can see Seider progressing week by week. He's getting better every game. Every week he's coming out and playing a better game than before.
Wow.
And he exceeded really at the finals and at the World Championships. This was really an amazing way he's going through all that season.
I tried to learn this phrase, Finn. So I'm sorry if I say it wrong, but from the sounds of it, Moritz Seider looks at all of his challenges and says, "Das ist mir wurst."
Yeah. Great. Great. Far better than my English, so Jake, far better than my English, so
no.
Perfect. We take this.
Great.
But after the prospect camp, he's coming back to Mannheim. He's doing his summer training here, I heard.
Awesome. Well, I hope that you can tell him that the newest and biggest American fan of Moritz Seider is Jake Nagy, and he will be wearing a number 53 Red Wings jersey as soon as it comes in the mail.
I think that we will see some of them in Mannheim too next season.
I can imagine for sure.
We also had Jochen Hecht. I have forgotten Jochen Hecht. He's also a Mannheim Race player.
Oh, wow.
Who played in the NHL for really a long time.
Sometime, yeah. And Christian Ehrhoff, I don't know where he, what part of Germany he was from, but
we had some players. Marco Sturm, who's now assistant coach of the LA Kings, so there were a lot of players there.
Yeah.
But from the German youth, they're coming a few players the next years. I think Dominik Bock must have shown really good hockey at the prospect camp of the St. Louis Blues. He was drafted last year. Next year, you have already to know his name. Tim Stützle is coming to the draft.
Tim Stützle. I'll be practicing my pronunciation so that when Iserman steps up to the stage next year and calls his name, I will not be shocked, Sven.
Yeah, you know him already. So
I know him already.
It's a big step ahead for Jake Nagy at this time. So.
Yeah, do you think he will come over and play for Seattle, or will he play in Mannheim?
Tim Stützle, he will stay in Mannheim. That's already declared. Okay. So he signed a contract for the Adler Mannheim for the next 3 years.
Oh wow!
As a pro in the German league, but we have to wait for the draft.
Yeah. I was hoping he might come to Seattle because that's just 3 hours away from where I live now. So I might be able to see his.
But you will get your new franchise in Seattle in a few years.
Exactly, very soon. So I'll be able to go see Seider every time he comes and plays in Seattle. Maybe we'll have to grab a pint with him, his number one fan.
top. Facebook now has the category of a top fan in Germany. I don't know if they have this in the US. So perhaps Moritz Seider top fan Jake Nagy. That sounds great.
That sounds about right to me. You know, I really I'm a big football fan as well, and I follow the Bundesliga little bit. My favorite footballer at the moment is Christian Pulisic, the American kid who played for. Yeah. Borussia Dortmund, and now he's coming to play for Chelsea football club, who is actually my favorite football club. So I'm already preparing to buy a Pulisic jersey. I'm buying my Seider jersey, so I'm hoping that my bank account does not run too low buying all these jerseys for the German American players here.
but I think your bank account has to spare some money for the playoff tickets for the Red Wings, or no?
Hey, that's right. That's right. Hopefully, Sider will bring us back into playoff contention very soon, Sven.
But I hope so too. I want to see this guy on the NHL. It's awesome. I saw his first DL game. It was 2017, I think, against the Düsseldorfer EG. Just have a look. Sider, just a second.
Yeah.
And he was 16 and he played there and we thought, wow, unbelievable. Unbelievable. And then he became a player for the rotation. He was not because he was not in the team because he's so young. He was in the team because he's good, said Pavel Groß, the coach of the Adler Mannheim, about him after a few games. And he's getting his ice time very, very soon. So, yeah, no doubt about it. I think it's a great pick for the Red Wings in the next years. But I'm also I'm not so deep into the youth leagues in the U.S. and in Canada to judge if it's a pick on number six. But it's by far the biggest German talent the DL have seen for the last 10, 15 years or 20 years.
You know, I think that as a fan, I can get so caught up in the mock drafts and the draft boards and, you know, who should go number six, who should go number seven. You know, at the end of the day, I think Yzerman looked at Sider and said, this is a guy I want to build my defense around for a long time to come. And, you know, we have two prospects, Filip Hronek and Dennis Chalowski. Probably our two top defensive prospects right now. They're both offensively minded defensemen. So Hronek is a great guy to play on the power play, Chalowski as well. But I think that Hronek and Sider could be an amazing pair for many, many, many years to come. And I am not surprised if Yzerman drafted Sider knowing that that will be his top pair for a long, long time.
Yeah, I think it was clear after the draft that Yzerman wants Sider at all costs. No doubt about that.
Yes, he was not going to miss his chance.
Yeah. This was, and I think the trust in Yzerman is that high, not only in Detroit, but also when you look at his work in Tampa.
Yes.
He showed so much skills there as a GM. He built the best team perhaps for centuries. I don't know. So no doubt about his quality as a general manager.
Yeah, he's a brilliant leader. And you know, the Red Wings team that he led to 62 wins and the Tampa Bay team that he drafted and put together are the two winningest teams of all time in the regular season in the NHL. So he's clearly pretty brilliant both on and off the ice, and we're certainly hoping that he builds another great team. And I think that the fans, the Red Wings fans, will have a lot more patience for Stevie than they would have for another season of Ken Holland as general manager. So Stevie can do whatever he wants. I think the fans they'll have the patience for him.
If Kent Holland picked Sider, the reaction would be different, you think?
Yes, man. That's what Steve Dangle was kind of talking to me about. And many of the fans had kind of gotten tired of Ken Holland, which the man, he's a great man. He helped us win four Stanley Cups, but he made a lot of questionable decisions over the last couple seasons. And I think if he had drafted Sider, the fans would have been very angry continually. But because Yzerman drafted Sider, many of the fans are saying, you know what? I think it's a great pick. Let's trust Yzerman.
The guy knows what he's doing. So
he knows me better than I know me. We got to trust him before we trust ourselves.
So that's fine. What do you think when we, 2 years from now on, when we talk about the Detroit Red Wings and Moritz Sider, what are your hopes? What do you think we were talking about then?
Wow, great question. I think my hope would be that he is a rock on defense. I hope that he and Hronek are a top pair for the Red Wings 2 years from now. You know, I you want to give him time to develop, and you don't want to put too much pressure on him early on. But, you know, when you look at the Red Wings core of players, you mentioned this at the very beginning of our conversation. You know, the Red Wings have always had a core of players that play their entire career for Detroit. And I think that, you know, Dylan Larkin and Anthony Mantha, Tyler Bertuzzi, that's really going to be part of our core on offense. And Dylan Larkin's 22. So in 2 years from now, Larkin's going to be 24. He's really going to be kind of and part of the prime of his career. And I think that's when, as a Red Wings fan, we're really hoping to become contenders again. And so I'm hoping that in 2 years from now, I'm back on your podcast, Finn, and we're talking about how Sider is the defensive anchor of a new Red Wings dynasty. So that's my hope.
My hope is that we have a segment in our podcast in the near future called Sider Watch. Jake, with you as our guest.
Sven, have me on anytime. I'll come on and do Sider Watch anytime you like. I'd be happy to be a guest again.
It would be an honor to have you back for sure. But yes. So we're finished for today, and I can't thank you enough for your time, for your words, for all you bring to the podcast today. It was amazing. It was a perfect show.
Oh, Sven,
65 minutes now or so. It was really amazing.
I feel so honored. You know, I love that the hockey world is able to unite people who are from different continents, different countries, speaking different languages. You know, the only time I've been to Berlin and Hanover last summer, but when I was in grade school, when I was about 15 years old, I was traveling. I was in a country called Ghana in West Africa. Yep. And, my flight connected in Frankfurt, which I know is not too far from Mannheim.
Yeah. It's 1 hour drive, so.
Right. And Sven, I was about 15. I did not have an iPhone yet. I had an old cell phone. And so I went to the gate in the airport where my flight was connecting. I set an alarm on my phone to wake me up because I was tired. And I fell asleep. And what I didn't realize was that my phone had updated. It did not update the time zone. So I woke up from my nap. I looked at the clock and I realized it was 30 minutes past when my flight was supposed to take off. And so I ran to the gate and I asked them for help. I said, "Hey, did I miss my flight?" And they said, "Yes, your flight took off 30 minutes ago. You were asleep." And I was 15 years old. And the first thing that went through my mind was, my phone is going to die. I have no money in my pocket to buy another ticket. I'm going to have to work here in Frankfurt for enough money to buy another plane ticket back to America. And so luckily they were able to get me on another flight without too many problems. Or Sven, I might still be in Frankfurt to this day working and being a fan of Mannheim's hockey team. My parents may have wondered what happened to me. I had to work for my money in Frankfurt. So I'm glad I was able to make it back home to the U.S. But the next time I come to Frankfurt, I will make sure I do not fall asleep in the airport, that I catch my flight and drive down to Mannheim. A new bucket list item for me is to come catch a game in Mannheim with you, Sven, and the rest of the podcast hosts and all of your listeners. I'd love to come see a game and get to meet you guys in person.
That's a great idea, and that's a promise I make. We show you Fantastic. Mannheim and the hockey club and hockey town Mannheim.
Yes, for sure. A mutual partnership.
Yeah. So thanks to Jake. You can reach out to Jake via Twitter at JakeNaggy19. And we are Eiszeit FM, Twitter at Eiszeit_FM_FM or Facebook.com/Eiszeit FM. Jake, it was a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks so much and hope to have you back quite soon.
Yes, Finn. I'm excited for Sider Watch. We'll stay in touch. Thank you so much for having me.
So bye and bis zum nächsten Mal.
Cheers.
0 auf 100. Aral feiert 100 Jahre mit über 100.000 Gewinnen. Zum Beispiel ein Jahr frei tanken. Jetzt ein Dankeschön, Rubbellos zu jedem Einkauf. Alle Infos auf aral.de. Aral, alles super.
Ich habe mich natürlich schockverliebt, weil die war wirklich ganz, ganz klein.
So begann die Mensch-Hund-Beziehung zwischen Christina und Tierschutzhund Frieda. Und wie es danach, nach dem ersten Moment der Verliebtheit, so weiterging und welche Klippen es danach zu umschiffen galt, das hört ihr in der neuen Ausgabe von Iswas Dog, dem Podcast für harmonische Mensch-Hund-Beziehungen.
Iswas Dog mit Malte Asmus.
Überall, wo es Podcasts gibt.